Grateful for you being here. This has been one of those different kind of weeks. Earlier last week, I received news that a good friend of mine, some of you know Sam Craig, evangelist, has come and led worship music in our revivals, and his wife passed after an extended heart issue, and they had a memorial service for her on Tuesday morning, in La Porte, Texas, and so I had a lot of time in my car and driving to and from and listening to CDs, different preachers. Every once in a while, I like to listen to a preacher other than myself, and does me very good to do so. It's a challenge, and this week was no different. One of the teachers on the radio had made a reference to the lack of God-fearing and Christ-declaring men of God in our nation. The question came up about the condition of our nation and its turmoil. What does that come from? And he turned it back to the churches, the need for godly men to lead, the need for shepherds to be leading the flocks that have been entrusted to their care. And I noted that he had made mention that in previous years in church history, churches, preachers, people of God were called to repentance. There were calls to repent of sin and to turn back to God. The word repent means to turn away from something and to turn to something else. And we really don't have that in churches today. He noted that we talk about topics. Pastors and preachers tend to try and help people to feel good about themselves as they leave the place. And oftentimes we miss talking about the things the way God sees them. And I was under heavy conviction regarding those statements. He had said that many times the churches are yielding to the culture's criticism of pointing out sin and pointing out things and calling it discrimination and hate language rather than a declaration from God Almighty for the souls of men. He said, as a result, the church has become weak and ineffective, and I agree with him in that estimation. The church in our nation has become weak. She has laid down her arms and she has allowed the culture to have her way, and the church has laid down her only weapons, and the world is overcoming that. Jesus' promise is that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So it's not to be so, and every so often the church rises up in revival, rises up in repentance, and recognizes where she has strayed. I turned my radio off after hearing that particular message, and I spent some time really thinking about what was being said and came under very real conviction and discovered the direction for today's message. And that same evening, Tuesday evening, is our faith visits, and the Lord never acts in coincidences. It's always divinely appointed that night would be the night that I would be presenting in the faith strategy the very first letter of the presentation, the gospel presentation, which is presented by the word faith, F-A-I-T-H, and the first letter of faith is F, and F stands for forgiveness. And the outline goes, it's very simple, the transition statement, everybody needs forgiveness because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this forgiveness comes from Jesus. And the Bible says, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sin, according to His glorious riches. And so, as you go on in that study, it addresses our sin, dealing with sin. And it takes you to another passage of Scripture, which happens to be in Psalm 103. I just want to read that psalm to you this morning, and just read those few verses. that challenged my heart. Even as I was teaching, I oftentimes feel sorry for my students in the faith class because I have an awful good time preaching in there. But verse 10 of Psalm 103 says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." This is saying that God's got great mercy in withholding from us that which we certainly deserve, separation from God, not having His grace shine upon us. But God has been patient. In fact, it all comes back to why it's that way. Verse 8, "The Lord's compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He abounds in loving kindness." That's the nature of our God, that He is so patient with us. He holds off and He waits to the last possible moment, which is only known to Him in His wisdom. But He withholds a judgment that is certain and that is deserved. But verse 9 is sobering, and it was for me that night in light of all that I had pondered through that day. "He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever." There's coming a day when every single person who's ever been created and had opportunity to live will be called to account before God. We will have to give an accounting of what we've done with our lives. For believers, the Scripture says, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what we've done with Jesus. How have we served Him? How have we walked with Him? Have we ignored His promptings? Have we followed through in obedience? Have we been faithful to experience the opportunities He gives us? Or have we turned our eye to that and focused on other things? There's another set of people that will be standing before what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, and at that place there's no hope. For these have rejected Christ and depended only upon their own works and deeds. And as a result, we'll be separated from God forever, cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, along with the devil, the false prophet, and the beast, and all the demons that followed after the angel Lucifer, and all the wicked who've ever inhabited the earth. We have a God who one day will call all to account. Now, He is patient. He is merciful. And for that, we should be grateful. Even for believers who have salvation, we should be grateful that the Lord is withholding that day when we have to stand before Him and say, "Lord, here's what I did with Your glorious gift in my life." I thought about shepherds not being faithful. And I thought about last week's message as I went through the list of the books of the Bible and how God has expressed His love towards us in each of those books. And I remembered Ezekiel. God expressed His love toward us by extending a call to turn away from sin, to repent, to turn back to God, to the great lover of our souls, and to allow Him to have lordship over our lives. And then I thought about being a shepherd who is to be faithful to preach that kind of message to God's people on a regular basis. I have been faithful to call you to give attention to God's Word. I have no doubt about that. There's power in the Word of God that cannot be found in man. Not even the most eloquent of speakers who could stand before you and wow you with their ability to juggle the Word are able to overcome the great power that's found in the written Word, who is actually the living Word, Jesus. He's the one that transforms life. But I also come under conviction that as a shepherd, perhaps I have failed in other ways. I want you to go to Ezekiel, that book, and let's look at chapter 34. There are 31 verses. It is lengthy. If you're not able to stand, please don't attempt it. But if you can, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. And let's give attention emotionally, mentally, and spiritually to how God is speaking to our hearts through this passage. Verse 1 of chapter 34 in Ezekiel. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you've not strengthened. The disease, you've not healed. The broken, you've not bound up. The scattered, you've not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force, with severity, you've dominated them. They were scattered for lack of shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves, did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I'm against my shepherds, and I shall demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding the sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore, but I shall deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel by the streams and on all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture. Their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they'll feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick, but the fat and the strong I'll destroy. I'll feed them with judgment. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and the male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you should feed in the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pastures, or that you should drink of the clear water and then foul the rest of the water with your feet? As for my flock, they must eat what you tread down with your feet, and they must drink what you foul with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I, even I, will bring judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, thrust it all the week with your horns, till you've scattered them abroad. Therefore, I'll deliver my flock. They will no longer be a prey, and I'll judge between one sheep and another. Then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. And I'll make a covenant of peace with them, eliminate harmful beasts from the land so that they may live securely in the wilderness, sleep in the woods. I'll make them and the places around my hill a blessing. I'll cause showers to come down in their seasons. They will be showers of blessing. Also, the tree of the field will yield fruit. The earth will yield its increase. They'll be secure in their land, and they will know that I'm the Lord when I've broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. And they'll no longer be a prey to the nations, and the beasts of the earth will not devour them. But they'll live securely, and no one will make them afraid. I will establish for them renowned planting place, and they will not again be victims of famine in the land. They'll not endure the insults of the nations anymore. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, you are men, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. Let's pray. Father God, as you dwell in your heavenly place, it's the rightful place for you. You're holy. Lord God, you transported from your holy heavenly place to come down to this filthy, sinful earth to allow yourselves to be given into the hands of sinful men that you might offer up a sacrifice for our sin by giving of yourself. Lord God, your desire is for your sheep to know you and to experience the fullness of your blessings. Lord God, give us ears that hear this morning from our great shepherd in heaven. And Lord God, we will hear this call for us to turn from our sin and turn from our selfishness and turn to our God who cares. Fill us with yourself. Teach our hearts. Open our eyes. You're worthy of our attention this morning. We thank you for giving us the time in this place at this time. As we pray, we do so in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, our great shepherd. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The prophecy begins with an indictment against shepherds. I was already convicted about being a shepherd who's faithful to the flock, entrusted to my care. The indictment in Ezekiel 34 is against shepherds, against the priests, against the leaders and the elders of Israel who had been given that same kind of entrustment to keep the word of God before the people. This is the time when God's people are being banished from their land because they've not obeyed God's word, which was given way back in the days of Moses, before the kings began. And the people had continued to turn their eyes and ears and hearts away from the truth of God's word to do what their hearts desired. And it got them exile. God's own chosen people that he handpicked out of the world to be his people whose name would be upon them were banished. We live under a false deception that we are favored by God in America. The only people that are favored by God are those who walk with Him in faithful, loving obedience. No matter what nation you belong to, He has a flock. He is a good shepherd. And he longs to care for his flock and to feed and to provide for them and to carry them along the way and to protect them from predators. It is his nature. And Jesus came to give us the perfect model of what a shepherd would be as he watched over those 12 that were his and many others who loved him and followed him in the days that he walked the earth. And when I saw my own ministry and in comparison to that, I was disappointed. In fact, I was disgusted. I feed you the Word of God. I know that. I have no doubts about feeding you truth. When I look out in the congregation on Sunday mornings and I find pockets of empty pews, I think about those who are sick. I think about those who are hurting because of loss of loved ones. I think about those who are having to work. I think about those that are struggling with finances, relationships. Your burdens become mine. That's how it is. In Scripture, burdens are extra. We have our own load to carry, but when the burden comes, we are the family of faith to help each other walk through that. Your pastor's heart is broken for that. But I know there have also been Sundays where I have been focused on preaching the sermon and I've been focused on a task or someone's asked me a question, I'm trying to find an answer, and I've probably walked by more than a dozen of you at some time and not said hello, not asked how you're doing. I'm so sorry. You're worth it. You have life and hurts too. And the pastor ought to care. And the pastor ought to meet those needs as best he can. I'm weak in that. I know I'm inadequate in that. My personality is such that I get on a task, I have to get it finished. But that also means that I put everybody out at a distance so I can focus. The staff will tell you that I'll be working on a sermon and they'll come in, knock on the door, and I make them wait till I finish typing the sentence I'm thinking about, because if I stop, I won't remember it. It doesn't mean I love them less. It just means that I'm trying to make sure I get this right. And they know that by now. But maybe not everybody here knows me like that. I would never desire to offend anyone. But I'm human and so are you. And we will make mistakes. There is no justification or license for not doing the best job possible. And so I ask you to forgive me when I have failed to not be the shepherd God calls. I don't want you to think I'm too busy. I don't want you to think that I don't care about your hardship, because I do. I spend many sleepless nights at night rolling around in bed thinking about some of you, how I can help. Praying for you. You're always on my heart. You're my work. This is my job, my call. And I don't regret one minute of it. Even those calls in the middle of the night, they're worth it. Because we serve a God who's bigger than us. And He's able to overcome our weakness to minister to each other. I count on that. Trust me, I know myself well enough. I can't do it in my energy. But I hope I'm a good shepherd for you. And that's not what this is about. This is for me recognizing that I can be a better shepherd. And I have repented before my God, and I wanted you to know that. I took this passage to heart. But the passage also goes on to tell us what the Lord desires, as He is the good shepherd who is, I'm just an under-shepherd, by the way. He is the shepherd. And His word says that He will search for us and seek us out, that He cares for His herd. He's the one who cares for His sheep and delivers them and brings them out of the peoples from the earth and feeds them and gives them on good grazing ground and leads them to rest. The Lord God is the one that provides all of that. Thank goodness it's not Brother Robert. Thank goodness it's not Brother Dan and Brother Ethan. It is our Father in heaven through Christ Jesus, who is the great shepherd. And He has blessings abundant for those who will trust Him, just like a dumb sheep. Listen, some of the dumbest animals, sheep. And they need to be told where to eat. They need to be guided. They need to be brought to right path. They need to be protected. And that's how the Lord likened us in our relationship with Him. And rightfully so. We should depend on Him. And we should recognize when we're not walking in step with Him. Listen, the promise of the shepherd is that He'll walk with us by the waters, by the green pastures, the valley of the shadow of death, sitting with us at the table with our enemies. The Lord is with us all the way through until we come into His very presence. One day I'll dwell with Him in the house of the Lord forever. His loving kindness. He has a promise for us. But may we be faithful to Him. He's faithful. Note, there's an indictment to shepherds, of course, but there's also an indictment for the flock. Verse 17, as for you, my flock, I'm going to judge between one sheep and another, between the rams and male goats. Is it too slight a thing for you that you feed on the good pasture and then you tread down the rest? of the pasture with your feet so that other sheep can't share in that? I wonder how many times we get caught up in self. We get caught up in me being fed and me being met and having my needs met, but we dismiss the other sheep. The next section says here where you push with your side and your shoulder. In verse 21, you thrust at the weak with your horns till you've scattered them away from yourself. How many times have we heard the privileged pushed away the weak? I don't want to see the sheep fighting. I don't want to see the sheep at discord with one another. One of the first verses out of Proverbs that struck my mind as a young believer was chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 16, that there are six things the Lord hates. Wait, seven that are an abomination to Him. Listen to this list of things. The first time I read it, I was convicted, and every time I read it, I'm convicted. The first on the list is haughty eyes. That's referring to a prideful life. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood or active at things they shouldn't be active at. A heart that devises wicked plans, schemes, and thinks about how they can enter into some trouble, try to get away with something. Feet that run rapidly to evil, constantly walking with the wicked rather than walking with the Lord. A false witness who utters lies. And one who spreads strife among brothers. Even among the sheep, we can commit a sin that God hates and finds as an abomination when we don't overcome our like for each other and we love each other. This call in Ezekiel is a call to repent, to turn from that selfishness, to turn to our God who provides all the love that we need, all the grace that we need, all the mercy that we need. Listen, Jesus in the Beatitudes said, "Blessed are the merciful, they shall have mercy." Let's be merciful to each other, because Lord knows we need mercy. Let us exercise it. Let us be found loving each other the way Jesus commanded us, and we looked at that last week. The Lord is so good, He said, "I will set over all these sheep one shepherd, my servant David." Now, when this was written and was declared through Ezekiel, David was off the scene. He'd already been a king and died. The nation was being exiled. This is not David, King David. This is talking about Jesus, the one that would come from the seed of Jesse, which was truly Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Messiah. And the promise of the Lord through the prophet is, "I'll set over them this one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them. He will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David," or Jesus, "will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." You know, when God speaks, that's it. It's established. Psalm 119:89, His word's been established in heaven. When the Lord speaks it, it is. There's no change to it. It doesn't change. Verse 25, "I'll make a covenant of peace with them." We certainly need peace in these days. We have a nation that's divided. We have people in every pockets in every community that are divided among themselves. We need to repent of being part of the problem and to trust the shepherd to put his flock back together. Because there are those that are not of this flock yet that belong to this flock. And I don't know of anybody outside the walls of a church that want to come in to a church where people are fighting with each other and hating on one another. Now, I'm not saying that's happening, but I am saying that I think we're all guilty from time to time, shutting each other out, shunning one another, being selfish, nudging each other around, hooking each other with horns, trampling on good stuff so others can't enjoy it. May we be transparent and honest enough today to say, "Lord God, forgive me. Forgive me for being that kind of sheep." I love that David gave us some psalms and was honest in his psalm. Psalm 51 is one of the most honest confessional hymns that you can find in Scripture, where David, after his sin with Bathsheba, and finally was brought to his attention that he had sinned against God through this act with that woman, that he made this great confession from his heart. I go to this psalm from time to time, and I pray it in my times when I need to come before the Lord honest, because sometimes I don't have the words. These words represent perhaps confession that I've had to make from time to time. Maybe it would be helpful to you. Be gracious to me, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Isn't that true when you commit sin? It's always before you. You can't forget it. You can't walk away from it. The conviction of the Spirit reminds you again and again. Why walk in that misery? And David did for a long period of time. But then he comes to the realization, against you and you only have I sinned, O God. And done what's evil in your sight, so that you're justified when you speak and blameless when you judge me. The acknowledgement that God has a right to hold us accountable. Even from birth I was born in iniquity, and my sin my mother conceived me, and you desire truth down in the innermost being. In the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop so I can be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. The next part I've sang in a song before with the choir. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your Spirit. What an incredible plea. And when that happens, then I'll teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners can be converted to you. I've often wondered why people aren't running down the aisles after hearing a message. How come we're not coming up and rejoicing and praising the Lord? And perhaps it's because we're holding back some sin where we're not able to teach transgressors their ways because we're walking in our own. It was Peter who wrote, judgment begins in the house of God. And it's time, he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, it's time for judgment to begin with the house of God. And if it begins with us first, then what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? Just because we're his children doesn't mean he will not hold us accountable. We must obey, walk with him. Then we will be fit vessels to impact our community, to impact our families, to impact the world. We need to repent. Shepherds need to repent. Sheep need to repent. We need to trust the great shepherd. The last verse that we read out of chapter 34. This is God speaking to you and me. As for you, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. That's pretty specific. You are men. I'm your God. I don't know about you. That's powerful. God speaks well to listen. We're mere men. We're made lower than the angels. God is our creator. God is the one who sustains life. God is the one who determines what the rest of our eternity is all about. He's God. He says, I'm your God. That implies love. He cares. It's the kind of shepherd he is. I've been broken this week. And that's not said to draw any praise. I do believe that God has broken me for a reason. There are a couple of contemporary songs. I know KK probably sang Make Me Broken. so I can be healed. Make me empty so I can be filled. We oftentimes can't be filled with this joy of His salvation, with strength that we need to be able to do what He calls us to do, unless we first are broken. Could we be a church that could begin by being broken and let the Lord heal? Listen, the Lord has extended an invitation. Some of you can quote this out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, where God extended that invitation and said, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. We sure need healing. We need forgiveness. We need God to hear us. May we be broken. Maybe we be willing to turn from ourselves and turn to Him. Let's pray. Father, You're God. We're just men. Lord, Your word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces down to the depths of our inner man, judges the intents and motives of our hearts. And I pray this morning, Father, that that's exactly what has happened. May this morning's message not be the proclamation of a man's will, but of God's desire for His flock. Thank You for being a great shepherd who has given incredible promises. And Lord God, You sent Your Son so that You could fulfill those promises in and through Him. Lord God, may we be open to receiving the gift of eternal life that You have extended through this one who came to give of Himself, this Lamb of God. But Lord God, as Your very own flock, may we be sensitive to bow before Your holiness and to lovingly walk with You so that we might honor Your name in this world. Lord God, we love You, but we know it's because You've loved us first. So Father, may we represent You well and respond in a way that honors Your name. As we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, this morning, have Your way in our hearts. Amen.